Reverend Vida Ligard is the director of Rema Kenya and has trained leaders and transformed people in East Africa since 1999. Through Bible schools, seminars, character development, and coaching, Reverend Vida's teaching is helping people come out of poverty, grow churches, build businesses, fight corruption, and mature leaders who reach thousands of people every day.
And you can look for a political solution, but the problem is primarily not political. The political problems we're having, they are a result of the laxity and the passivity of the church.
Reverend Vida and his wife, Reverend Catherine, founded Safari Mission, a non-profit mission organization currently working in Kenya and Congo. Reverend Vida graduated from Oral Roberts University and is also a graduate of Rema Bible Training College, Tulsa, Oklahoma, USA.
Good morning, Brother Church.
This is William Manny. And as you know, I am a missionary in DRC Congo, representing Safari Mission Kenya.
Great to be with you
and,
today.
And we are doing a great job there. We thank you so much for those who are supporting this assignment, because we have a lot to say. It's bearing a lot of fruits. Right now we have 15 pastors who came all the way from Congo to Kenya for a second year, because they were so blessed from what they received. And it's a big sacrifice for these pastors, because
and
some of
so many great things that are happening
while you're days, here in day and
North
night
Carolina.
To make it to Kenya.
We got
but there is one who has done 7 days,
3 million people that are reached in the jungles of the Congo every week. These are areas where just to get on the station, you have to make your ways in there and create the relationships with the people. Places that journalists don't even dare to go into these places because it's just too dangerous. You have journalists in Beirut, you have journalists in Gaza and in Israel, and the conflict zone in there, 6 million people killed in the last 30 years. And a journalist don't have the guts to go in. But when the life of God is in you and you learn how to believe God for protection and different things, then you just go places where others don't have the guts to go. So 3 million people reach on the radio there twice a week. We got podcasts going on. We got book translation. We got publishing going on. We got conferences and seminars. In Kenya, we're working with the government, with two of the different branches of the government, things I can't really talk much about. Every year, we're scheduling 200 college classes, 7 different campuses. In Kenya right now, we have about 500 churches where the bishop or the senior pastor is a Rema Bible Training College graduate in Kenya. So there is a footprint of things that are going on every single week. You have been part of that for years now. And we would just want to, Catherine and I, she is in Nairobi today, but we wanted to come in and say thank you so much for being part of everything that's happening there. When you give in the church offering here, part of that goes over to Nairobi. Some of you are involved on an individual basis as well. We wanted to say thank you. Just wanted to give you a quick testimony. In the Congo, in the area where we work, there are so many different rebel armies, different things that are happening. Eggs are imported. Chickens are imported. The poverty level is so strong, so bad, that they're not even keeping chickens and eggs in this area. And we go in through the gospel, the light of the gospel, and, you know, full gospel includes healing, but it also includes prosperity. So we train them on work ethics and different things. And so some of the students or pastors and different ones started keeping chickens. Well, if you don't feed a chicken correctly, it won't lay. You'll just produce meat and certain ingredients in the diet. And it wasn't much available, so it was hard to find out, okay, how in this particular area, how can you get the right feed into the chicken so they'll start laying eggs? Simple, simple things that you go through. Well, somebody came up with or figured out how to properly feed the chickens in this area. So now you've got one graduate who's running a chicken business, another graduate is running the feed business, and somebody else goes, why are we importing chicks from Kenya? So somebody starts a hatchery. So you've got a whole ecosystem that's being produced. That's what the gospel is supposed to do. You know, at some point, the rubber's got to hit the road. It's not just spiritual theories we're talking about, right? But it's a life transformation that happens on the inside, and it makes a difference on the outside. It impacts family life. It impacts work ethics. It impacts our places of business and all this kind of a thing. So there's a tremendous amount of great, great things that are happening over there every single week, and you're having a part of that. That second video there, it's about 3 minutes from one of the testimonies of one of the pastors that are in there. We're training pastors and bishops over 100 churches in this area. And many of them, they get a hold of Christ in us. And they're going back into communities where they've been chased out of by rebel armies, really. Now they're going back into those communities and reestablishing and opening churches and different things. There's about a three-minute video testimony that I wanted you to hear so you could hear from yourself. One of these pastors came into Kenya, and we recorded this video. So if you'd roll that, it'd be great.
Hello, this is William Manny. And as you know, I am the missionary in DRC Congo, representing Safari Mission Kenya. And we are doing a great job there. We thank you so much, all those who are supporting this assignment, because we have a lot to say. It's bearing a lot of fruits. Right now we have 15 pastors who came all the way from Congo to Kenya for a second year, because they were so blessed from what they received. And it's a big sacrifice for these pastors, because some of them have traveled for 4 days, day and night, to make it to Kenya. But there is one who has done 7 days, day and night, to make it to Kenya. And because of that, we see the zeal in them. And when we ask them why did they have to come to Kenya?
Kwa majina ni Safari Kasai Shasha.
My name is Safari Kasai Shasha.
Niko pastor.
I am a pastor.
Mimi natoka Congo, Goma.
And I come from Goma, Congo.
Tumefurahi sana na tunashukuru sana Mungu.
We are so happy and we thank God.
Kwa somo ama masomo ambayo tumefunzwa.
Because of the lessons we have been learning.
Na tulipokelewa na walimu wazuri sana.
And we received some good teachers.
Walitufundisha somo na tukapata mawaidha yenye tulikuwa hatujui.
We received good teachings.
Na alafu tumejifunza na masomo yametusaidia sana.
And those lessons has really helped us.
Ilifika wakati mmoja tulikuwa nasoma.
One time when the class was on,
wabandia wakaingilia nyumbani.
Those rebels came into my house.
Na wakati piga sana.
They really harassed us and they beat us.
Na wakakata mtoto yangu wa tatu mpanga mkichwa.
And they hurt my son on the head with a machete.
Lakini ile yote haikuacha nisisome kwa sababu nilipenda masomo sana.
And that did not stop me from continuing with my learning.
Na tulikuwa tumejifunza somo ya imani.
We had learned about faith.
Nikakuwa naamini ya kwamba atapona lakini mimi nitasoma tu.
So I believed God for his healing, and I also decided to continue with my class.
Na nikasoma nilimaliza mwaka wa kwanza.
And I continued my class. My son also got healed and finished the first year.
Na leo ni mwaka ya pili.
Today I'm second year.
Tena katika mji wa Kenya.
In Kenya.
Na ninashukuru sana shule yetu.
I thank God for the school.
Kutuleta katika mji wa Kenya na tupate kusoma mwaka.
To give us an opportunity to come to do the second year.
Nasema Mungu abariki mkubwa wa shule Gida.
We say God bless Vida.
Na bariki na walimu wetu.
And God bless our teachers. Thank you.
This is a short, quick testimony from the Congo. Some of these pastors have traveled 4 days, some of them up to 7 days to come out to the college. You can't fathom, and I don't have language to describe the hardships that these people are going through. And even the little language I do have, the service would be too R-rated today to talk about what really is going on in these areas. I know we have situations in our own country here. Our things here are light compared to what's going on over there. And like I say, the journalists don't even get in. You see stories from Gaza and the tunnels and different things like that. That's small stuff compared to what's happening in the Congo. But you don't pack darkness up into a box and ship it out the door. You focus on turning on the lights. You focus on the answers, and the answer will expose the darkness, and the darkness will start fleeing. So we just focus on getting the answer in, getting the answer in, getting the answer in. That's the answer to our own government here. That's the answer to our school systems. That's the answer to our communities. You focus on the answers. You can't fight darkness. Nobody wins trying to fight darkness. You just focus on the answer and getting the light on, getting the truth on. The best way to combat lies is just to tell the truth. And so that's what we're doing in there. Some of you might have seen this book, A Fork in the Road. I probably brought that last time I was here. This is a book, if you want to get out of the rat race, if you're struggling with life and want to get out of the rat race, this is the book for you. It'll open up a lot of different things. That book is out there on the table. It's for a donation of any amount. If you want to do $1, if you want to do $100, if you want to do anything in between or outside of that, that's fine. Who wants this copy here? I saw this hand right here first, behind there. Then there is another one that just came out. This is Faith for Assignments. It's a study of Hebrews chapter 11, Noah and Abraham and so forth and so on. They're not just historical figures that we are supposed to adore, but they are actually supposed to be our peers. In other words, we are supposed to live our lives in such a way that they're not just impossible role models to reach up to, but we are supposed to live the same way they lived. This is Faith for Assignment. I saw your hand here, sir. This is yours.
Sir.
There are more books out there at the table. If you want our newsletter, you can sign up there. We send out a paper newsletter about 4 times a year. We do an email about once a month. Thereabout, you can sign up out there. If you do want to be a partner, you can do that out there as well. Praise the Lord. Well, I understand you're in a series of prayer. So we're going to talk about the power of prayer today.
Amen.
The power of prayer. We have a tremendous privilege. And Jesus said this in John 11. He said, I thank you, Father, you hear me always.
Amen.
Over in John 16, he said, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Then in John 15, he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. We have a tremendous privilege in that we can come before the very one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who has all power. He is the one that we can go to.
Amen.
And he hears us when we pray, because he always hears us. He said, ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. Thank God he wants us to have our joy tanks full. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Why do we pray? Do we pray in order to appease an angry God? Do we pray so that we should feel better ourselves? Do we pray in order to prove our own spirituality? That used to be me in my teenage years. I'd come to prayer service in church, and I would make sure I was the one that prayed the loudest so everybody could see my spirituality. No, we don't pray in order to appease an angry God, and we do not pray so that we will feel better, although we might feel better, but that's not the reason.
That's right.
We don't pray in order to prove our spirituality. We pray to change circumstances on the earth. We pray to change circumstances on the earth. And I say it like this, if when we pray, circumstances are not changing, then we are missing it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. If when we pray, circumstances are not changing, then we are the ones who are missing it somewhere. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, you see, God hears us when we pray. And he said there that his ears are open to the righteous person praying.
That's right.
God hears us when we pray. His ears are open to the righteous person praying. Over in James 5, verse 16, it is such a privilege to go before God. In the second half of that verse, it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Right.
The Amplified here talks about makes tremendous power available. And then James is writing predominantly to a Jewish audience. And in the mind of Jews, Moses and Elijah are the two biggest figures of the Old Testament. They represent the law and the prophets. And so James brings out Elijah, says he was a man with a nature like ours. You see, everybody put him on a pedestal. He was put on such a high pedestal, it was impossible to reach him. And so James says he had a nature just like ours. He's just a man like us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. That was one man, one prayer session, impacting the history of the whole entire nation for 3.5 years. And then he says, our prayers make tremendous power available. Elijah, the same kind of man, the same nature as ours. You don't need a whole pack of people coming together in order to affect history and circumstances in prayer. One person, one prayer session will make tremendous power available in such a way that you can impact a whole nation for 3.5 years.
Amen.
You can study the story in 1 Kings 17 and 18. He hears us when we pray. Mary, the Queen of Scots, during the conflict between the Protestant and Catholics and the different nations in Europe and so forth, she said about John Knox, kind of the father of the Presbyterians in a sense, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. Now think about that, the Queen said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. You see, there is an invincible power made available to us in prayer. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, just laying a little bit of foundation here. See, many people, they have some sort of an underlying subconscious, you might call it, fear of God. Well, it's good to respect him. But in Hebrews 4, it talks about Jesus being our high priest. For we do not have a high priest, that's verse 15, who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then verse 16. Let us then with confidence, everybody say confidence.
Confidence.
Draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the Old Testament, the throne was not accessible. In the temple, there was the day, we had Yom Kippur the other day, the Day of Atonement. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that the Holy of Holies is now an open place. In fact, it's no longer in a room someplace, but it's in our heart. You see, in Ephesians, it talks about, Ephesians 2 and verse 13, the blood has brought us near. I know there's some church people that don't like us talking about the blood, but you can't talk about Jesus and not talk about the blood.
That's right.
And there's some parents that say you shouldn't talk about the blood. Your kids are learning about the blood at school. If you don't talk about the blood, they're going to be learning about pagan blood other places.
That's right.
Our bookstores in town are full of books on the blood. There's more witchcraft in America today than there is in Africa. The elite of society, they are using blood. And you can check up on abortion and the sacrifice to Moloch. It has to do with the blood. You see, every witch doctor knows you can use the blood of a chicken and pronounce curses. You're looking at me funny. I know we're in North America. I understand. These things are real. I said, these things are real. The people in Washington, D.C., they know about this stuff and they're doing it. They're doing it in San Francisco, too, the big companies in our country. Some of the most famous billionaires have witch doctors in America today. We need to know about these things. And so you can use bulls and goats and chickens, but there is a blood. Every witch doctor knows this. There is a blood that's more powerful. It's human blood. And the younger the human, the stronger the blood is going to be. That's why abortion needs to be legal for them, because it's sacrificing to Moloch. There is a blood that is stronger. And I don't care what blood somebody else has been involved with. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. It is the strongest blood that there is. And through that blood, I have full access into the throne room of God Himself. You see, every religion that there is, there are rules and things you need to do in order to appease an angry God. The first religious person there was is Adam. After his sin, he tried to cover himself, create his own religion in order to appease an angry God. And God said, those fig leaves won't do. And he said, skin. Skin requires the shedding of blood, doesn't it? God showed forgiveness of sin is only by the shedding of blood right after the fall. What's this got to do with prayer? Because when I come into the throne room of God, I don't come on the basis of who I am in myself. I don't come on the basis of what I have done and what I have not done, but I have a confidence to go into the very throne room of God in time of need to obtain grace and mercy. When do I need grace and mercy? When I've messed up. You see, most people, when we've messed up, we run away from God. But people who really know God, they know that should you have messed up, you don't run away from God. You run into the very throne room of God where His presence is, and I come on the basis of the blood of Christ. He hears me when I pray. I have a confidence. I'm not afraid of the day of judgment. I have confidence for the day of judgment. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not afraid of that day. Jesus is my Savior. And He is my brother. And He transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is no generational curses for the one who believes in Christ, because I've been transferred from the family where there were generational curses, and I have been transferred into the family of God. There was that old witch doctor in the Old Testament. He was hired by the king to place a curse on the people of God. And he said, how can I curse what God has blessed? That's right. Can't be done. There is no blood that is powerful enough to mess with me, because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What's that got to do with prayer? If you don't understand righteousness, you're going to struggle in your prayer life. If you don't understand that I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, His blood has brought us near. And this is why I don't pray to Jesus, to Mary, to a saint, or to anyone else. I pray to God directly, because I have a relationship with Him. Jesus said it like this in John 16, verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. In verse 27, He said, for the Father Himself loves you. In that day you shall ask me nothing, for the Father Himself loves you. I have access to God Himself. But now in James, you see, sometimes in all types of prayer, we need to pray in faith, believing, or pray with an expectation. Prayer is not just a religious exercise. It is in order to change circumstances. And we need to pray with an expectation. Some people pray from a position of despair and whining. Let me say that again. Some people pray from a position of despair and whining. It's a whining session. It's not a prayer session. You pray the answer. You don't focus on the problem. Pray the answer. Don't focus on the problem. Set your expectation on the answer and get your eyes off of the problem. James said about those that are in doubt or despair and whining, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, he said. James 1:7. So sometimes in order to know the answer, you need to meditate on the word before you pray. Very often, you know, life happens to all of us, and faith is not a way that to utopia, some way that problems never come, but faith is a way out of problems so that you don't set up camp in the valley of the shadow of death. Right. I'm just on transit.
Right. Yeah.
But meditating on the word so that you can know what the solution is. You see, the solution will not come from man's wisdom. It comes from God's wisdom. And so if you're ignorant of the word, you will probably be ignorant of what the solution is supposed to be. And you'll be praying gibberish. Man's foolish answers. So are you praying your plan or are you praying his plan? That's my question today. You praying your plan or are you praying his plan? His plan and his ways are higher than our ways. George Mueller, in England in the 1800s, he fed 2,100 people daily. That's a lot of people to be feeding every single day. You might be able to do it for a meal, but every single day, year in and year out. He sent 189 missionaries. Pastor Josh, you got a little ways to go here. And never asked for money. He always only prayed and didn't even announce what the need was. 189 missionaries sent, 2,100 people fed daily. He knew something about prayer. He knew something about faith. Reading in his diary, he said it like this. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state, now listen to this, that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Let me read that again. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. That's amazing. 90% of people's problems in prayer is because they're praying their own will and never took the time to find out God's will about the matter. 90%. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, he said it like this. Find scriptures that cover what you're praying about. People of effective prayer are always prayer people of the word. F.F. Bosworth, for those of you who don't know, one of the great healing evangelists. Actually, I read from some PhD people trying to discount healing. Big old thick book with references and references and references. They never referenced F.F. Bosworth. That's like talking about modern physics and you never read about Einstein. It's just foolishness. F.F. Bosworth, he said it like this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So in other words, so many times you run into a situation, it is better to, instead of praying in despair and unbelief and all this and not knowing, it is better take the time to find out what is God's mind on the matter.
Yeah.
Then pray. Some years ago, I was a student at Oral Roberts University. Had a very good professor, and exams coming up, and they had founded one of the departments there, she and her husband. Well, she fell sick, and the husband said, in all my life, I've never seen my wife this sick. And so, you know, it's a Christian university, so everybody's praying, but it's the casual kind of prayer that never gets results. You know, when I'm talking, anybody got a prayer request? You know, that kind of prayer? I got a secret one. Secret prayers and secret prayer requests don't work very well, by the way. You can't add your faith to it because you don't know what you're believing for. You don't know what you're agreeing to. I learned some things about prayer during this time. So I went before God, and she was bedfast, that bad. And I started interceding or really supplicating. I said, Lord, exam time was coming up, and if I missed those lectures, I'd struggle. You know, exam is coming whether you have class or not when you're in university. So I started praying. I said, Lord, you sent me to this university. This class is important, and you want me to get this, so she needs to get well so that I can get what you sent me here for. Besides that, you died for her that she be well. She may not know what I know when it comes to the subject of healing, but I'm asking, Lord, that you will have mercy on her. And I set my face to, she is going to get well based on my prayer. Everybody else been praying for a while, but nothing was working because it was just this, let's say, a prayer kind of a thing. And Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18. He says, you pray not taking no for an answer. Once you have found out what the will of God is concerning a situation, then no is not an acceptable answer. I know what the will of God is. And when you have confidence in His will, then we know that He here heard us. The following day, the husband was there and he said, something remarkable happened yesterday. All of a sudden, she turned and she got a lot better. We're just kind of giving it one day. I believe she'll be here tomorrow. When he said that, I kind of relaxed my faith and said, she's fine. You know what happened? I let her go. The following day, she got worse again. Sometimes you have to stay in faith until the answer is there properly. Sometimes some of you have been believing God for money and somebody said something and you stop believing because now you're basing your hope on their word instead of the word of God. Next day I went back to prayer again. Same way. Then the following day she came back to school. You can pray people through. Now I remember one time in Kenya we'd bought some land. And all of a sudden, we have neighbors showing up at the land saying there's a public road going through the land that we'd bought. What had happened, it was a farm, 8-10 acre farm, something like that, got subdivided. And then in the plans, and we bought some of the land, there's a private road that was put in between so you can get to the various parcels, you understand. And so us neighbors, we had agreed amongst ourselves because the way that we developed the land, we decided to shift that road a little bit. It's just a private road, so it's just an agreement between the neighbors at this point. What we didn't know is that the original owners of the land, when they sold the land, they didn't register with the government a private road. They registered with the government a public road. And an outside neighbor started finding out about it. And now they're starting to tear down fences and barriers and different things and saying there's supposed to be a public road here and they never had any interest in this particular land anyways, but now you've got a conflict in the whole community and we're a ministry and all that. That's great PR, by the way. What do you do in a foreign land with PR and mob kind of mentality and all kinds of different things going on? Well, we had legal rights based on a contract and how the land was sold. So you can go the legal route. I start praying. And the Lord says, shift that road to where you all had agreed on. But give up a little bit of sliver of land to the neighborhood and things be all right. You see, in if you're in business, you know what a BATNA is, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. The Lord knows what the BATNA of the other side is in negotiations. He See, the best way to do deals is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we had a legal right. We could have gone the legal route. We probably still would have been in court cases to this day and been unable to develop the land had we gone the route that normal human wisdom says to go. But I heard from the Lord, and I knew what the neighbors would eventually agree to because I heard from the Lord. You see, find out the will of God concerning the matter. Some of you have been praying for your spouse for a long time. Sometimes you need to drop your pride. See, prayer is just about as much about listening as it is about speaking. Prayer is just as much about listening as it is about speaking. Well, I don't want to go to the Lord about, change my spouse in this way. I've tried. It don't work like that. Then he'll start speaking to you instead. In relationships, it's a lot of times like this, because none of us are perfect. And even if it's 95% on the other side and 5% on yours, God will start talking to you about your 5%. Are you praying your plan? Are you praying His plan? Let's stand up together. God's been wanting to talk to some of us. Some of us have not been wanting to listen because we had our own ideas of what we thought was supposed to happen. And I've got a question, because when you want what God wants for the same reasons why He wants it, you become invincible. I've got stories. I can talk about changing literally the course of whole entire nations in prayer. I wish I had the time to talk to you about those stories. What is God's will? What is your will? And I know there are people here today, you need to lay down your own desires. You need to lay down your own thinking, your own plans, your own will. And God will start working through you, in you, with you. If that's you, you can come here. You can pray up front. You can pray in your chair, whichever way it is. God's in the blessing business. But there are some pipes that are clogged sometimes, and it's hard to get things through. You can just come up front if you want to pray. You can pray there in your chair. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here you say, I don't know the Jesus you're talking about? I want to know more about that blood. I want to be born again. Is that anybody? Let me see your hand. Anybody, you want to be born again? Is that anybody? You can come as well. Is there one person over here? Hallelujah.